Good evening, everyone. This is Tala with Drive Through Therapy. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight on another episode. And as always, I'm grateful for your support. I'm just so grateful for you guys. It is sometime in the end. It's the beginning of March, actually. It's the beginning of March. So I'm grateful to be publishing right away, or at least recording right away, because it takes a bit to edit. I'm excited. I've been waiting on this for a little bit just so I can gather, you know, the most important part of this topic. Because sometimes I play it in my head over and over until I get it just right. And I think today I have it with the best intention and the most precise. And this is all about precision today. I want to make sure that if you're listening to this, I want you to get the healing as fast as possible and get the shortcuts to this healing process. If there is going to be a shortcut, this would be it. It's kind of like I'm asking a lot of you as an individual to do, but it is going to get you closer to where you want to be, which is on the inside, healing from these old generational wounds. When you have a mother-daughter relationship, most of the time, it is a generational wound, I found. This is from my experience of working as a therapist, you know, talking to a lot of women and a lot of women that have had toxic mother-daughter relationships. I've discovered that it's generational and some needs were not met by that mother. And so when she has a daughter, she transfers these unmet needs or takes it out on that daughter in some form. It's gonna impact the daughter in some way. Dysfunction does impact the next generation in some sort of way. Unless someone decides to say, wait a minute, I want to work on it. And takes the responsibility of changing generational patterns. I want to take the opportunity in this moment to say thank you so much for trying to do this work, this mother-daughter work. If you are the daughter of this generational pattern that is toxic, you are getting an opportunity to change it for the next generations to come. So you're not just changing you. You are changing generations to come to get healthy, to have memories in healthy mother-daughter relationships. But somebody has to take responsibility for changing that, and that would be you who is listening right now. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for the generations to come, because it's going to have this wonderful rippling effect that is going to be experienced beautifully. So we're not trying to get rid of, we're not trying to forget, because forgetting is not healing. We're trying to transcend or outgrow. That's the purpose of this episode. And really where I want you to go with your healing is to transcend. That's how you're going to know or measure progress with. Am I able to transcend or outgrow this moment or this interaction with my mom? Now, what are we trying to outgrow specifically when it comes to our mom? All of us as humans, when we step into this world, daughters will interact with mom's value system, mom's principles, mom's beliefs, all of those, her social conditioning, all of those will be represented by this mother that has a daughter. Now, if the mother has never done any work on investigating those beliefs, she might tweak them in her lifetime a little bit, but they won't be tweaked too much. They will be just part of her memory, and memory is very powerful because memory will just be used easily. It's going to be automatically accessed by this mother when raising her daughter, and she will use parenting basically from memory. Now, if this daughter or this mother had a great relationship with her mother that was healthy, then memory here would be useful. But if the mother herself did not have a good relationship with her mother, then memory may not be that great if it's just tweaked a little bit. So we haven't had an opportunity to self-reflect, to look at our own value system, our own principles, what we've inherited, what we think about women, the messages we've received directly and indirectly about women and about how we engage as a woman or as a mother and her role. If we haven't looked at those deeply, then we're going to go off of our memory. So if I'm a daughter born into that home with this type of mom that hasn't really reflected on her past and may not have had a good relationship with her mother, what's going to happen is that I'm going to be the recipient of whatever that value system is that mom believes in and mom has inherited. I'm going to adapt as a daughter in that home to her value system, to her principles, to her ideas, even if I don't agree with them. So if mom perceives, for example, something like the importance of what people think of her, like she'll say things out loud, like, what will people think? Then in my mind, I'm going to adapt that as well. I'll be thinking, what will people think? Because I'll find that important because my mom found it important. Other things I'll find important, for example, is that a woman is might be worth only mostly her looks, and she might talk about the body or the female body in a certain way, and I will inherit the way she talks about her body. I'll inherit that way or that belief system onto myself, not because it's true, not because it's a fact, but because I have memories in it. I'm exposed to it early on from my mom, and I adapt to it, and it becomes part of my value system. It shapes it. It forms it. And that's where I get it from. It's a very powerful inheritance. It's something that we cannot really control early on. We're just going to adapt as a female in that family. It's something that we have to do. It's a very early on conditioning or programming in the way we respond to mom, and it's adaptive. So a lot of the times we either respond by complying with mom, right? Making her happy at first. But a lot of times you're going to start seeing this discrepancy start to be apparent between mother and daughter around teenage years. The daughter will start to rebel significantly with mom. Okay. She'll now start to stand up because now she knows mom is possibly not looking out for daughter in some way, or daughter might recognize that mom is more judgmental perhaps, or her value system is repressive. All those she might not be able to express, but she recognizes it. And so she'll start fighting or having resistance towards mom around teenage years is when I find it. Because the daughter does not believe or is trying not to believe or fighting the value system of mom. So that's also age appropriate and developmentally appropriate, I find. I think people are shocked when this happened. I don't know why. It just means that there's a discrepancy that the kiddo is seeing with mom. Somehow she believes that mom is not in alignment or looking out for daughter. And so daughter will let her know. So again, there's going to be acting in two extremes. There's going to be either I'm going to fight mom's value system, or I'm going to comply with it or people please or highly be codependent with mom. I have a very codependent relationship with mom where I'm going to call her all day long, ask her what she thinks. In my head, I'll even think as an adult, what will my mom think? What would my mom pick? What would my mom say? Like, I hear grown women actually reflecting this way internally. And they're saying this out loud to me. And they think nothing is wrong with it, right? It's like, this is what's normal. This is important. I want you guys to know that we cannot forget mom's value system. Whatever she relays to us is important, is valuable, is high priority. We will accept it to be so. As we age, we act in extremes as a way to either comply with her system, people please, to learn to please our mother, overly take responsibility for her emotions, and when we don't get what we want from her, right, and we don't get the response we want from her, whether it's approval or whatever it is, we go to an extreme of extreme rebellion. We fight with her. We try to convince her and change her mind. At which point, either extreme, I want you to know this, okay? Either extreme, you are still complementing her value system. You are still held prisoner by it. Either way, whether I'm fighting against her or complying with the value system, I am still complying with her value system. I'm still thinking it's part of my world. It's pretty important because it's taken my energy somewhere. Whether it's fighting or complying, it's still using my energy. And I can't go beyond it yet. Now, as an adult child of that mother, right? And as adult daughter of that mother, we are going to go back as an adult and continue to perform these strategies, right? Or these ways of adapting towards mom. It's going to come subconsciously. It's like almost an automatic thought. As a matter of fact, it is an automatic thought, an action to where I respond to my mom. In order for us to truly try to change that, we have to be extra, extra consciously aware, hypervigilant almost, in our conscious awareness when we are around mom. Because we slip into the old conditioning easily. So if you're not aware that you are in your healing process and that you are trying to do things differently, you're going to get caught up in this every time emotionally and emotionally invest in the outcomes and emotionally can try to convince mom, try to comply with her. And again, it's going to be disappointing because if I don't get the response I want from mom, I go back to being that 7-year-old girl who's throwing a tantrum or that teenage girl who's like fighting back and trying to convince her and change mom's value system. And essentially, we want to change mom's value system in order for us to get the healing. I want that to just be very much noticeable in our psyche, and we want to stop doing it. We don't want to change mom's value system. We don't really need to change it in order for us to get our healing. We're going to get our healing even if mom's value system never changes. Mom does not have to change an inch for us to get our healing. But the way to do that, the way to truly do that is to transcend mom's value system. So I'm not responding any longer in either extremes. I'm not overly complying with mom's value system to where I believe it, or I am convincing mom and fighting with her against her value system, convincing her to change it, which I'm also believing it, believing her value system. I'm trying to transcend it, meaning that it's no longer my value system, and her value system is different than my value system. So we have to develop. We have to do the work that needed to have been done generations past, which is develop our own value system as a woman, as a mother, as a parent. Now, this needs to be done, whether you are a male or a female, with your own parents. I really recommend this. So it's not just for mother-daughter, but I'm just talking about mother-daughter here. But this would work either way, for father-son or mother-daughter. We want to transcend the value system of the actual parent. So this way, we are aware of it, and then we act in the way we want to act. We realize our own resistance towards mom's value system and start to transcend it. So I don't want to act on the resistance. I just want to transcend it, to get to a place of indifference almost, like it's almost irrelevant. Mom's value system is irrelevant to me because I know differently today, and I've done the work, and mom's value system is just where she's at, and she's allowed to be there. Where I'm at is a whole different set of value systems, and they may not interact well with hers, or they may not be equal to hers in some way, or what's more relevant to her, but that's okay. That means I don't have to convince her or change her value system. I'm allowed to have mine. So now I've set myself free, conceptually speaking, of mom's value system. I have my own. In order for you to understand your mom's value system and to set yourself free, you have to know what it is. So this is the work that you sit with yourself and you write down, what is mom's value system? What does she believe about herself? What does she believe about women, about people? What did she believe about me? What triggers my extreme responses with mom? What am I trying to change her mind about? You know, what's important to my mom? I write a list down of what's important to her, what's valuable to her, what she believes is valuable to her. Those are the things I write down. And once I'm doing this work, then I get to identify, do I want to keep this value system or do I want to change it within me? Not out here, not with mom. Do I want to change it within me? I need to do the work. I need to shift inward. No longer am I trying to tweak anything outside of me because I cannot control any other human being. I need to shift inward and do the work on the inside of me to change, to redo my own value system to make it mine. So this way, I'm not resenting anybody anymore. They're not holding me hostage. I am a free will that has established my own value system, and this is what's important to me. This is what's valuable to me. And this is what's valuable to mom. And it's clearly separated in my mind. It's clearly distinguished in my mind. It needs to be. So this way, I'm no longer blurred. Then when my mom says something, I don't have to comply, agree, change her mind about it. No longer has the effect that it used to have on me, because it's not my value system anymore. It's hers. And I'm aware that it's hers and she's allowed to have it. But today, mine is different and I could do whatever I like. So I can even be kind, courteous, even in the moment, you know, be respectful, whatever it is I need to be, indifferent to my mom's requests, instead of being resistant to them, it no longer applies to me. So it no longer harms me in any way. I've already released that. I'm releasing that a little bit at a time. Now notice, I will be triggered emotionally. I don't need you to be shocked. The trigger will emotionally come in. But what we want to do is to continue to take responsibility for how we feel and remind ourselves that we're an adult and that we are now developing our own value system. So mom does not have to agree with it. She doesn't have to be convinced of it. She doesn't have to say the correct words anymore. She doesn't have to respond the correct way anymore. She doesn't have to change anything. I am free. If I need her to change something, I'm not free anymore. Does that make sense? I'm held hostage because she's not going to change, and so I'm not going to get healed. So we're going to redo this formula so you can get free. So mom does not need to change anything. Hence, I am free to be whatever I want to be, and I don't need to convince her otherwise. This is the work that has to be done. There is no way around it. Sometimes we want to, or I hear other women saying, like, I'm not going to talk to my mom anymore. I don't know how possible that is. Like, if my mom is a serious addict and she's just very toxic and I can't talk to her anymore and it's just, there's no reason why she needs to be in my life, I understand. Please keep that boundary. However, let's say my mom is a great grandparent and that I have children and she's a wonderful influence on them. However, she's just not that, you know, great as a mom. Then in this case, which is very typical, you know, I don't want to completely stop talking to her, but I think we are good at running or avoiding, right? Because if we can't control mom, we don't think of any other option. And today I'm going to give you the other option, is that we have to shift inward now. We take responsibility for changing ourselves. We can't change the world outside. It just now forces us eventually, after so much frustration, to go within and change ourselves. And this is the calling to do so. If you are waiting for it, this is it. The calling to shift inward. So this way, I can respect my mom as a grandparent. But I know that mom as a parent was just not that great. But it's okay. It doesn't harm me anymore. It's like I'm grateful for what she can offer. And I respect her. And I respect her value system works for her. But for me today, I've got my own. I don't need to flaunt it. I don't need to use it as a weapon. It is just, it is what it is. And I'm set free. And that's what I want for you. That's what I really want for every mother-daughter relationship to be. One that is freeing and that generationally, the past generation does not necessarily have to heal. I don't have to convince them otherwise. But today, I can heal so I can help the next generation to come. And it has a more healthy ripple effect. So I want everyone to engage in this process of transcending the value system of our parents if it doesn't work for you. Now, not all the value systems that they have are terrible. Some of them are fantastic to have. But you need to go shopping. You need to go shopping for which one works for you and which one is hurtful to you or unkind or is toxic. And both are allowed to exist in the same parent. And you're allowed to shop for the one that you want. Today as an adult, and even as a child, even though you didn't know it, you have free will to decide and create whatever reality you want to live in. So I'm giving you that power back. Don't let anybody take it away from you. You have always been a creator on the inside, a creator of worlds. So create your own world and do it intentionally. Finally, I do want to mention a part about the healing process. there will come a time where I am no longer requiring my mom to do what a mother would have been doing at this age and stage in my life. You know, so if I'm a 30-something-year-old daughter, I wouldn't be calling my mom to get very wonderful sage advice about, you know, a job application. If I know that she's going to say some sort of remark that is going to be unkind to me, and then it's going to trigger me, and I'm going to just go ahead and react in some sort of way I'm not going to like myself for later. What we want to do, right? If I'm not getting the things I want from my mom today, as a mom for her age and my age, right? Because there's age-appropriate mother-daughter development. So if it's not looking like that, then I need to try this wonderful strategy. And this strategy I'm going to tell you, you can use all the time. I use it all the time, not just with my parent, but I use it all the time with anybody that I may find that is not that healthy in my life. I use it in my head to figure out what I need to do with them. So this is how it works. So let's say my mom is toxic, and let's say I want really good advice about, you know, what to do in my relationship. Now, what I'm going to do is, in my head, because I am the creator of worlds and realities in my head, that I can actually develop this idea of a mom on the inside, the healthiest, highest version of mom on the inside, the one that's really healthy, the one I've always wanted on the inside. And I can ask that mom on the inside, "Mom, what should I do? Or what is your advice about me in this relationship?" And I want the highest version that I've created of my mom on the inside, the healthiest one I could find, to help me respond to that. So this way, I can feed myself what I need, or what I'm asking my mom to do, I'm actually doing it for myself, which is actually the job for all of us today, is that I'm really trying to fill those spaces in, those needs in a very self-accessible way that I can access anytime I want. Now, what would the highest version be of that mom? What would she tell me about my relationship? What kind of sage advice would she give me? And that's what I would engage in. You could do this with anybody. You could do this with an ex-partner or a current partner. Then let's say that they're toxic and they're unkind. What would the healthiest version of them say to you? You know, would they say, "You know, I wish you the best and I want you to do what is right for you. And because I'm not thinking correctly, I want you to do what feels good to you. And I know that you will not resent me for that. So please do what you need to do." You know, this is the highest version of and healthiest version of someone. And we engage that. We kind of know it intuitively. And we engage that within ourselves. And we use that to fill in those answers or those needs that we want to meet within, right? So all of it is happening internally. The shift is truly internal. It is not external. We need to move from the external to the internal. That's what we need to do. This is the shift that needs to happen, friends. And this is what we're going to do to get our healing. Okay? I hope this was helpful to you. Make sure that you kind of listen to this over and over again, because that's what it's made for. I'm getting into your ear and your mind and helping you and staying in your ear all day long and helping you along the way to meet your own needs, to realize that you are the source of everything you've ever needed on the inside. Everything you've ever wanted to be, everything that you ever wanted to have is truly on the inside of you. It is not looking for it externally. It's truly on the inside. Everything you ever wanted, I want you to explore that world and its treasures. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. I'm sending you love and light. Jean-Paul Sartre says, "Freedom is what we do with what is done to us." This has been an episode of Drive Through.